Laws and Andrew, Michael and Andrew, sorry. Any discussion? All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? It's carried, noting that we had two withdrawals. Thank you. Come back to the table, people. Thank you, people, for a good discussion.
Thank you.
Over dinner, I'll explain why I voted the way I did, which is about natural justice, actually.
Sorry, yes.
The
way of dealing with the unanimous and withdrawals and things might be if Liz has tagged them as they withdraw and then there's a vote.
Thank you.
The vote can say it's unanimous, knowing that those people are withdrawn, and then when they come back.
It won't normally show up as unanimous. It's just carried. So unless you request it to show.
I've lost where I am.
You're right.
Sorry.
Just a point of clarity there. So do you
hang on. Sorry, I've got 1,500 things happening at once. Yes.
So are they noted as abstaining or withdrawing?
Withdrawing.
They are actually, they're not abstentions.
No.
Yeah.
So they're just not, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you were going to say?
I was going to say. It's just really a matter of process in terms of the...
Okay. Yep. Later on, at the end of this, we might have to have a free-for-all discussion, but I'd prefer it to be at the end of the meeting, which is on exactly how we get the information out that we're asking people to come on the 7th of January, which is why I voted against it, because I have huge doubts as to how fair it will be in terms of people being able to get there.
Exactly.
Because it's the 7th of January. Okay, darlings, we are now at 9.5. We consider the establishment of a communications working party, and that's on page 75 of 108. The author of this is Michael, and we're going to receive this report, establish a communications working party to meet as required, and make recommendations to council or to strategy and planning. We're going to approve the membership of the Communications Working Party as Councillors Calvert, Deka, Forbes, Hope and Laws. We're going to appoint Councillor Laws Chair, and we're going to receive progress reports and recommendations as required from them at regular intervals.
I'll move that.
Moved Hillary.
I'll second that.
Seconded Gary. Any discussion? Is that a discussion?
Yes,
Brian?
Please.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I mean, all good, but the only part that I hesitated on was paragraph 4, where it says there'll be no formal minutes taken. And I can just see issues coming out of this.
I see.
I can just see issues out of this, maybe over time, but I'd be disappointed if somebody wasn't taking some minutes so that the communication between this group and other parties was quite clear. I can see it fraught with issues.
Okay. Brian, would you like to comment?
Yes, first of all, we don't usually take minutes in workshops. They generally are a summation of bullet points that come to those councils.
This is a working party.
It's a working party. Working parties. They aren't actually fully, they're not committees of the council. They just simply report bullet points.
You need to communicate.
We will be communicating. I'm going to leave the reporting to Sally. Can I also just say and put on the record that Sally and her team that came were outstanding. Eleanor and who was the other one, sorry?
Lisa.
There she is. And we're going to have a really good committee. We're going to come back to you with recommendations, and I think can also just say Sally and her team identified some gaps in our service, in our system, which we're going to need to plug really quickly. And so we would expect to be coming back to probably the first strategy committee, Sally, would you think, with some of those bullet points, or certainly to the first council meeting.
It's the end of January.
Yeah, end of January. So we'll have a meeting before then. Can I also say, Brian?
Yeah.
We're going to extend an open invitation to all councillors to attend that. So we will notify all councillors of working party. Most welcome to attend. No one will be excluded. Everybody's welcome.
Well, that's good, but are you going to write something down?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. He just says we'll see.
I'll give you some bullet points at the end of every meeting. How's that, mate?
Brian, cool. At the end
it
says...
Don't send them to me. Send them to...
Brian, look at number 5, recommendation 5. Okay. Anybody else? Questions? Gretchen?
I just wanted to ask you how you were feeling, given you gave us portfolios and we agreed on them. And just wondering, is it something you think is a great idea?
I'm perfectly happy. Michael went to Michael Deeker, who was a person who I had down as communications person. Michael Deeker was very happy to work inside that, c'est la vie. Okay? If people get up and do things, that's fabulous. All right? I've got no problems. Somebody liked... You've moved it, haven't you?
No, I think it was moved by Hillary and seconded by Gary.
Okay. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 And against? Carried. Thanks, darlings. Now, I've just got to go back to the agenda. The agenda, we're up to matters for noting. 10.1, consent processing under operative and notified plans. Oh, holy hell. There's a recommendation that we note the content of this report. This is to provide an explanation of the consent process and how an application for a water permit relating to... I think I need a rest or a gin.
A cup
of tea. No, I'm just teasing you. Go for it. Go for it, lovelies.
So this paper was in response to a request from Councillor Laws at a previous meeting to explain the processing process as it stands now leading through to the notification of the water permit plan change that was just discussed. Quite a complex report to write, but Joe and the team, I think, have done a very good job in trying to get that down on in our report for you, so happy just to take questions.
Good. Go for it, people.
Listen, I've got a lot of questions, but I'm prepared to put them to one side just for now and raise these. This is really important. In the 3 years that I've sat here, I don't really know how it works, and neither do a lot of other people, and I think it's useful for us to be able to go through this. It also gives us a better indication when we're making policy of how it's then going to be implemented by you on the ground. So it really means that we have to be much more precise and stop leaving stuff to you to do and end up getting the criticism because we haven't done our job properly. So thank you very much for this. It will certainly inform our workshop on the 7th, and I appreciate that. But I think for every one of us, it now gives us an indication of how to do it. I've got one question for you. Go to your graph on page 81. Remember, we're placing deem permits here.
Not a graph there.
Table. Yeah, there's a table.
So minimum flow, residual flow. Mean that? No.
Consent terms, number of consents granted.
Oh, that's 83, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's my 81, but it might be...
Okay, got it. Yep. 83.
We're replacing deemed permits under the existing water plans. That's correct, isn't it? And we've been giving, on an average, as a general rule, 25 to 35 years consents. Is that correct? Is that what I'm reading that?
Yes.
Question again. When we change the water plan, the RWP, but also we bring out everything into line with the national policy statements, will we need to call in those consents that have been granted for that time period and review them against those standards?
We can't review the consent duration. And it depends on the specific review clause we've added onto those permits as to what we could actually review them for.
So it's not the duration. So no. Let's just say we wanted to reduce. We have a minimum flow, for example, in the Manuhirakea.
Yep.
We've already granted a 35-year consent, and we've said your take is X. There is nothing that we can do to stop that person taking X?
No, we would be able to control when they could take it, but, yeah, it's not that overarching volume is my understanding.
Okay, and given the media around here, that would mean that if I was to had a deemed permit now, the media around here, if I was to have a deemed permit now and bring it in, you'd have to assess this under our existing policy, correct?
That's correct. We use the policies that are in our current regional water plan.
And are you still granting currently 25 to 35 year consents?
Yeah, I can't talk about the specifics of applications and what they may or may not be granted for. I can only give you what's in the table in front of you.
So would that still be generally what's occurring? What's in front of that table?
Again, we've only had two relating to deemed permits granted this year, so one through the Environment Court. Yep. One through the Environment Court and then one through a consent hearing. So yeah, I can't give you a guidance on that, sorry.
Yeah.
Any other questions on this paper? I've got Miles. You might go for it, Brian.
Yeah, just following on from Councillor Law's question, you're saying if they've got a consent for a time period that it can't actually be changed. But if, for example, through the new water plan, the minimum flow is actually established or a new one in the future is revised and increase, surely that would impact on what water was available to be taken as a whole.
So they would then have to look at reapplying for more water if they wanted more water at that point in time. Yep.
No, they might just want the same amount of water, but there'd be less water available. So say, for example, whether it's through the next water plan or 10 years down the track, they actually come to the conclusion that the minimum flow is not adequate. Surely that would impact on the existing consent holders.
Do you want to have a go?
It depends. Yeah. It depends on whether there's a review condition and whether or not it relates to flow.
Yeah. So there would need to be a specific review condition relating to minimum flow.
In the original consent.
Yeah. And a follow-on question, okay, thank you, was going about this time frame again. I thought I'd read it here, but I just can't find it. I thought that there was actually a general policy. Certainly there's been some type of instruction from central government that the time period for consents should be relatively short, and that was certainly seen as good practice in our discussion, somewhere between 5 and 10 years.
It's wide open, isn't it?
Yeah. It is case by case, and genuine thought has to be given to a range of matters. So there's a policy in our plan around consent duration. There's also policies in the iwi management plan. Yeah, it's in the item. And then there's also direction from the High Court and the Environment Court around consent duration as well.
Sorry, whereabouts was it? I was trying to find it. Sorry, I've read it before.
So paragraph 28 and 29, I think, are the ones you're after.
Thank you.
In addition to the conditions that the water permit is subject, it also has a set duration. How long a permit is granted for is decided on a case-by-case basis, which, when you think about it, is common sense when we think about the different flows on the different states of different rivers and their history. Are there any more questions to the lovely people? I'm not going to take you through it, but I have written all over mine, and I did find it very useful. And it brought back to me why I didn't like attending RMLA meetings. Okay. There not being any further questions.
Sorry.
Yes.
I'm just wondering the process going, because we've got a whole group of people, this concept of 5 and 10 year, consents just absolutely throws in the whole. I just can't believe that we'd even think of that, because we're trying to, you know, people are trying to establish businesses, making huge investments. The key, surely, if we've got the right science and we've got the right policy around our rivers, we should be giving communities and people certainty of length of time. So all I could say on there, that the longer you make that...
We haven't got the right policy. That's why we're doing it.
I think that's the basis of the discussion that just had in the previous paper, is that that's the process we need to go through, and what we're dealing with, obviously subject to the Parker response, is the interim period.
So with that in mind, are we going to be looking at a stage where we perhaps should be recommending to the current users... or the, which was basically the Dean, or anyone else really, that, that they perhaps should hold off applying for consents until we get this next plan change through, and possibly roll over, allow them to roll over under their current terms until such time we establish a less problematic plan.
They can't hold off. They can't hold off because their permits will expire.
Because these are deemed permits.
Yeah, that's what old plug lugs are saying.
Can I just, respond to you a little bit? And it's not about the deemed permits. It's about 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I stood for council was because of what is changing. Now, I know you don't happen to agree with climate change, but I do. And the science tells me that at the moment it is utterly up in the air in terms of water and water availability. And I think that permits that may have been given for 35 years for business as usual, we are no longer living in an as-usual environment. And I think we can say that right today when we look what's happened last weekend and what's probably going to happen in the weekend after. We are living in very different environment times. And I'm really sorry for farmers. I think it's going to be hard, but it ain't business as usual. That's why I stood, because I'm really concerned about it.
Madam Chair, if I can just comment on that.
Yeah, go for it.
With concern, because when you have major infrastructure to invest in, it doesn't get invested in over 5 or 10 years. So those opportunities for climate change and for preparing for the future that might be thinking 50 and 100 years ahead won't be developed.
That's exactly the
on
problem.
On a 5 and 10 year thinking.
Gary, that is exactly, I'm sorry, I should be chewing and spitting, but that is exactly when you listen to any economic discussion that I listen to, it exactly brings up this point amongst bankers at the moment, because they are really worried because there is no certainty, not only in trade, but particularly in the environmental issues. And that is going to have a real implication for investment in infrastructure.
Yes, but the risk is we won't build that stuff big enough.
I know, and I understand that. It is a huge issue. Young man whose name I've just forgotten.
Doesn't matter.
Andrew,
no one. We'll
take young man.
No one's perfect. You know that. I think it's really important. Let's not, and I'm not in the category of I've got a water permit or whatever, but we've heard from the consents manager that it's a case-by-case basis. There may be opportunities for applicants to put up a case that they get a better environmental outcome because of X, Y, and Z, which may mean that it's more than 5 years, 10 years, or 15 years. Who knows?
That's right.
And I think the other really important thing is that as we sit around here with our local government hat on, we need to consider the four well-beings, and whether it's environmental, economic, social, or cultural.
That's right.
And we've got to balance all that up through our decision making. So I just wouldn't like to think that we have a conversation that it's all gloom and doom. It's going to be hard. We know that. And we know that there's going to be changes out there in the community. But we've got to somehow work together, whether it's environmental concerns or economic or the other well-beings. We've got to somehow work our way through the hoops and hurdles. And we will get there. It won't be easy. I accept that. But I don't think we should be just focused on the negatives, because there may be some positives here as well.
You're right. We might all start growing nuts. I'm sorry, love. I couldn't resist that.
Some of us won't.
No, sorry, Andrew. I do take that very seriously. And there are positives and different ways of coping. Okay, people. Can somebody like to move that they note the content of this report? Hillary, followed by, seconded by Carmen. All those in favour, please say aye. And against, carried. Okay, the next thing on the agenda is report back from councillors. Councillors are invited to update the members on council-related business undertaken since a previous council meeting. Thank you, you three, very much, by the way, for a great piece of writing. Bet you sweated over it. Have you got your finger up because you want to say something, Kate?
Well, I'm not quite sure. Can I just understand the question here? Is it that if we've been doing stuff, we should be telling everyone about it? Or is it that if
you
we
could.
Think we've got something worthwhile, we could be doing it?
Absolutely.
Confession. Well, Alexa and I had a fantastic day yesterday with doing regional land transport stuff in Yes, and she drank water in Alex. But I didn't.
I'll tell Tim Cadogan tomorrow.
Yeah. It's seeing staff from QLDC, some people interested in infrastructure in Queenstown, some councillors about regional council issues or water issues in Queenstown, and then in Clutha we did regional land transport stuff. I'm also raising, because I don't know how we're going to deal with it and whether we don't deal with it, having people come into public forum, do we just let them talk or do we ever respond to that? And I'm not quite sure how we do that.
Oh, you mean like make a decision when they
talk to us? No, we can't make a decision, I appreciate that, but at some stage, do we get the opportunity, because we've had a public forum, do we just say, thank you, that was nice? I know that we did it variously and usually badly. When people come along to us and put that time and energy of coming, it is nice to respond somehow. And I'm not sure how, given that that is out, and I don't know what the norm is here. I'm asking that question at the same
could
time.
Could it be a practice that, say, that I try and follow up either of these by drafting a letter from the chair thanking them and saying where we're up to in our programme of addressing?
Or alternatively, the person who's at that portfolio, and I'm not sure if it's
that's right.
Gary
that's
Rabbit or not, would be the person who responds saying thank you for coming along. I don't know that we've given that officially over as a portfolio. I know we spoke about that.
Yeah, we did. We passed it.
So in which case, I don't think it should all come to you.
Okay, that's lovely. Will people be happy with that? So somebody comes and talks on biodiversity, biodiversity. Today it was on rabbits.
Yes.
And the two biosecurity people might get together, draft a letter and say what we're currently doing and what we might hope to do. Okay, so you don't have to trip all over yourself. But you can't say that what we will do, because that'll have to be a decision of all of us.
Madam Chair, historically, we go on an action list and a GM may, I don't know, in this situation, maybe a conversation with someone like Andrew Lord about compliance or whatever. That's how historic, because some issues are probably just going to be dealt with by staff, I'd imagine, rather than political arm having to get involved. I'm just suggesting whatever's the most convenient.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Sometimes.
Couldn't we have, Stephen Dixon comes along and talks to us today,
and
at some point across the stage of the day, we might have 5 minutes amongst councillors and with Sarah just to have a chat about what he has brought to us and what could be done. How could it be responded to him?
Okay.
Personally, wouldn't recommend that.
Because it's on the
There's no report.
Yes. I think it's really important that if you're going to do anything, that it needs to be considered. It needs to be considered against other priorities and a whole range of other things. So it's not that I don't want to engage. It's just that I think there's danger in making snap decisions.
Can I roll back what we just said about asking the people involved and say that when a person responds, it does, what was the word you just used? It becomes an action. So at some stage, we don't want a huge paper, but we want a response.
Mm-hmm.
Just hang on to us, and then we can send it out.
Oh. Certainly.
What are you saying? Why are you making it face, love?
No, I'm sorry.
Apologies for my face.
I was trying to read it.
Yeah. Sorry, please don't try to. I'm probably challenging myself as much as you in that process. What I had thought may lighten the load is that Gary may say, totally understand your issues. We're in the process of doing this stuff. We can't do anything until this, but if you've got real concerns, get your people to write letters into annual plan.
Okay.
And that is much more, that empowers those people. It doesn't leave them hanging.
Okay.
It doesn't require a whole lot of resources from staff.
All right.
And that's where I think we can use our, and say that I am leading this stuff. If you've got concerns, happy to come up and chat. I'm going off to see someone tomorrow on...
People are happy with that. Are you happy with that? Because it's just saying the status quo back to them.
Absolutely.
Young man.
But it doesn't preclude, saying in that letter that the CE is actually going to be coming back with a report. But it's relatively immediate response. The CE is coming back with a detail. In fact, the most insightful public forums I have is when it's achieved some momentum that we've got a report and then we've got some action out of that report.
Well, in this case, it won't be the CEU. It'll be the people who told us today that they are doing, what did they call it?
Yeah, no.
You had the word.
I agreed with that. So the rabbits, for example, either Gary or I would write. But at the same time, the group might have agreed that the CE would give us some information in due course, and we can refer to that in the letter. My point with public forums is that they can be they're not a very pleasant experience, and often when we say 5 minutes, and it's a really, really important issue, and there might be a group of people, and it's belittling for them, and then, you know, we spend the whole day, you know, debating different issues, and we give them 5 minutes, and they've been stewing on it for years, is that... that I think it's an unfair situation, and potentially should be longer.
But you can
oh. It's up to the chair.
Well, we can move for longer, can't we?
Yeah, we can move for longer. I'm not going to indulge an argument of this. Can I just complete what we're trying to do? Have we agreed with Kate's version, which is that the people who hold the portfolio write a letter of response to the person?
Yep.
And that we take that up. People happy with that? I'm not going to move it as a motion. It's practice. Is that okay?
Yep.
Can we move on? Are there any other things that people want to report back as councillors? Yes, Carmen.
Thank you. Councillor Deacon, I went to the Ag at Otago, which was really neat, 2-day symposium, New Zealand Agriculture. It was absolutely wonderful, and Otago Regional Council was a gold sponsor. So it was superb. It was anyone and everybody probably within the food, technology, science and agriculture coming together. One thing I probably learnt from it on the first day is you can convince people all they like, but you might as well give them choices. If they want a beef burger, give them a beef burger. If they want a burger that's made from plant, give them that burger. There was quite a lot going on. I'm just giving you the quick summary, by the way. There's lots of other things that were there too. And then the next day was more about what we're doing in Otago, what New Zealand Science is doing, why we do it, the health, and why. So it was the first time they've run the symposium from Dr. Frank Griffin. It was very good. It was very long. I know it sounds a silly thing to say to you, but it started like 8 o'clock and you didn't sort of get a break till half past 10, and there'd be 4 or 5 speakers in between, and there was a quick time for questioning. But it was a very good thing that we did for ORC to be a sponsor, because people saw us and we were taken quite seriously. The water staff were here, and the science staff came too, and that was really a big, big boost. And I hope we get to do it again, and I hope that perhaps we could have a director or somebody or a CE come next time, because there's a wee thing here on it, but it was very well done.
Good, thank you. Any questions?
We've never done anything like that before, but I
wanted to... Any other comments?
I'm just giving you the quick version, sorry.
Thank you very much. Mm. Okay, I'm going to move on. There are no notices. Kevin.
I have done a couple of wee things since.
Good.
North Otago Sustainable Land Management. We just had to check out exactly, I was going to say that right. So I went to their annual general meeting about 3 weeks ago, ably supported by Councillor Noon. This group really dates right back to about the 1980s, when North Otago was blowing away in the droughts, and they worked out what they really got direct drilling going, I suppose, in the south and plantings and the likes. But now been reinvented with the water changes and everything that's happening. They are exceptionally proactive. They're currently going around all the farms in the area doing environmental plans, either on a one-to-one or one-to-many sort of setup, depending on the farmers. They're just exceptionally proactive. They've engaged Otago University. They're doing a phosphate study at the moment, which you would have seen featured in a few papers of the Wairika catchment, which is, I think will be vitally important and really good science for us all. So they're going very proactively, and I think it would be really good for them to come to a public forum and probably let us know exactly what they're doing and how they're going about it, because it's something I think we could share right throughout. So that was good. Then I also went to the Lower Waitaki Management Group annual general meeting with Gavin and a couple others, and it was very good to hear Ecan talk. And we're doing a lot of work with the Lower Waitaki, and look, it was really interesting to sit back and have a look, and with all the pre-work that Gavin has given me, the work that we've actually been doing up there in the reaches of the Lower Waitaki, which basically goes from the mouth up to the Kura River. So there's been a lot of good money spent there, and a lot of good, really good things happening.
The part that wasn't stuffed about by Meridian.
Eh?
The part that wasn't stuffed about by Meridian.
Well, yeah, but still, I think we're...
Excuse me, you're not going to take away from my victory in Project Aqua.
Always see, was it a victory?
Yes. Always see. So that group is working very well. It's really interesting to see the difference in the rating variations between the way ECAN does it and the way Otago does it, but talking afterwards to some of the... They understand how we're going with it, and it'll be good to keep being part of that group. So, and it's obviously we're doing made a very good input up there.
Thank you.
That's about it.
Any more reports from councillors? Okay. Notices of motion. There being no notices of motion, we remove to 13 on the agenda. 13.1, Strategy and Planning Committee Resolutions. And this is consideration of terms. What is that? We receive that report. We note the report.
No. So let's go back to the edge. So what we need to do is accept the resolutions made by those committees.
Oh, sorry, darling.
That's all right.
Strategy and planning. Consideration of draft. No, it doesn't say that.
All of these need. Yeah, these are ones that we added today after the meetings.
Okay.
I added them there. These are. So we are just, you're agreeing with the decisions that were made at this meeting on the 27th.
Thank you. Thank you. It's moved by Kate that we do that and seconded by?
Seconded.
Now, this is on finance, or are we going to move them all in one?
This was strategy and planning.
I was going to move them all.
Yeah.
You're going to move them all. Okay, strategy and planning, finance, regulatory, and infrastructure.
That has been, we're fairly clear about what we did for
those
ones.
Today.
I don't think we need to have the
moved and seconded. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, carried. Okay, the last thing that we have on the agenda is resolution to exclude the public. Have we got any public to exclude?
No. Well, some staff
might need to go. Well, staff up there. Now, this is about, I'm removing it, the public be excluded from consideration of Port Otago Limited Annual Shareholders Meeting. Under the Lagoima section 48.7 and 72H, as per the agenda. After this item is completed, you will move. Let's go on. So, I move that the public be excluded from consideration of Port Otago Limited shareholders. Since I'm moving from the chair, I don't require a seconder. Any discussion? Hilary?
Oh, sorry, that's the next bit.
Okay. There being no discussion, I put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, carried. I now want somebody to move and second that we resume the meeting. Moved, Carmen, seconded Gary. All those in favour that we resume the public meeting. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, no. Are there any more motions for the meeting? If not, I declare the meeting closed.
Well,